Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog.
Thank you so much for coming out. We probably know most of you.
Hey, shout it if you are friends in real life.
Hey, friends.
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Yeah, I'm Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm Kelly Nugent.
Our names are right there.
My name is cut off a little bit, and Brett will be punished.
Yeah. This is the name of our podcast and show. So we have a podcast called Public Domain Theater.
Yeah.
We read short stories from the public domain and interject with a guest with comments, complaints,
screaming,
questions, screaming, jokes,
yelling,
screaming, terror, questions of like, why is this happening?
Yeah,
why are you doing this, Brett? Brett is our producer.
Brett is our producer and enemy.
He puts us through a lot.
He picks the stories for us. We don't know what we're going to be reading.
No.
And usually have, I mean, no, we've never read before.
Oh, any never.
Of these pieces.
No.
And our guests haven't either. So this is all cold reading.
Yep.
And
we split it up and we each read a part.
Yeah.
And we just react to it as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have some wonderful guests here with us. I'll introduce the first one and you introduce the second one. Okay,
Lindsay?
Okay,
good.
We'll do it. Okay. I wrote it down.
Great. Cool.
Okay. Our first guest is a lovely gentleman. Mm-hmm. You may know him from Doughboys. You may know him from Comedy Bang Bang. Nick Weiger is here.
Come on out, Nick Weiger.
Woo! Where is he coming?
There he is.
Yeah. Nick has been a guest on the show before, in which he read a horrible story that Brett chose for us.
Bad story. Real bad, bad story.
Real bad story.
Terrible
real bad story.
Story.
Real rough.
All right. Our next guest. You may know her from Veep. You may know her from being a performer at UCB, from doing stuff at Largo with her team, her improv team, Wild Horses. You may know her from not being in the current Mission Impossible movie.
The one that's out right now.
The one that's out right now. It's Mary Holland.
Woo!
Yeah. You also may know Mary from being on a previous episode in which Brett made us read a horrible story.
Oh, man. Yep.
You'll notice there's a trend.
Yep. Mm. So I don't know. I have no idea who even this author.
Yeah, we never know.
Who even this author is. Okay, let's see here. Do we think this bio is editorial?
So
Brett loves to edit these bios with a lot of editorializing, so we'll see.
But he made slides, so good for Brett.
Okay, so what? This guy's name, Lindsay. Do any of you guys know Paul de Kock?
For real.
Paul? For real? I'm not making that up.
D-E-K-O-C-K.
Does anyone know anything about him?
We are reading. We're reading a tale of his called "The Guilty Secret."
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm excited to read this. Oh.
Okay, we got some.
There he is.
Pictures of him. This is our boy, Paul.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
girl. Oh. He's serving me some
chubby
sweaty
realness.
Sweaty realness because it's a heat wave.
Oh. Yeah. He doesn't need to get that hair in place because he's Paul fucking Dukak.
Oh, this, man.
This guy's entire vibe is before.
Oh.
I have a question. Why is he riding a cat?
Hard to say.
He's wearing a baby bonnet and holding a Happy New Year
I have
thing.
To say, right. I have wow. tried riding a cat, and it doesn't go that well.
They do not like you afterwards.
Do you have a tiny body and a large head?
Some people say.
Oh man!
This is so. It's like it's like an old time. It looks like a political cartoon for people who are listening. But it's like it doesn't have any labels. So it's like it doesn't. The cat should say Russia or something. Like it just or our growing deficit. But
or off the gold standard.
Right. But without it, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. That took real commitment to get that mustache, though, I have to say. That's like a real broom. What is it?
Yeah, a push broom.
Push broom mustache, yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Dukak looks like a 19th century robber baron, and he has the name of a Rick and Morty fan on Twitter.
Yes. That guy trolls me every day on Twitch. He asks what my pussy smells like. Okay.
All right.
Good God.
Anyone
follow me on Twitch. Okay, so the name Paul Dukak is probably not familiar to even the most dedicated literary historians, and those who do know his name most likely recognize it from an allusion in James Joyce's Ulysses when Molly Bloom asks her husband Leopold to pick up a book for her.
I definitely
get me another
don't know
of
that.
Paul Dukak's nice name he has.
I definitely don't know that reference.
No, I don't know it either, and...
Why are we acting like we all know that, right?
Everyone's like, you're
fucking
dumb.
You probably know him from...
This where my motherfucking Joyce heads at?
Woo!
Finnegan's Wake!
Ulysses! Many readers of Ulysses have assumed that Joyce made up the name for the sake of a cheap double entendre, but they would be wrong. Oh my God, doesn't Brett sound so cocky here? Oh my God!
He sounds so Paul Dukaki!
Wait, seriously? Look at this. Monsieur Paul Dukak was a French novelist and short story writer active during the first half of the 19th century. He was popular and celebrated during his time.
Okay.
Born in 1793, Paul's father, Jean, a banker of Dutch origin.
Jean.
I'm so sorry.
Jean.
Jean, for those who are going to...
I know that because I'm a Les Mis fan.
Oh. Sad times. He was guillotined before Paul turned 1 year old. He was a victim of Robespierre's famous reign of terror during the French Revolution. Oh, sad. But his
cool
first job.
Cool death, though.
Yeah, very high drama death. His first job was a banker's clerk. He lived on the Boulevard Saint Martin in Paris, and the only mention of him during this time describes him as a homebody. He didn't like to leave the house much.
Before Queer Eye. What does he look like after French Tuck?
He makes guacamole now. During these extended stays inside his house,
burn like that.
Paul began to write. First for the stage, composing operatic libretti. His first novel, Le Fond de la Femme, I do not speak French, translation of The Child of My Wife, was published at his own expense.
So his child?
Mm. Oh, you know what? He's subtweeting her. He
is.
Totally is.
Drama. My wife had a child. Child ain't mine.
Child of my wife. Mm. Dot, dot, dot. And then a close-up of his fucking face.
And then he's riding a cat. Oh, that's why they drew
that's
that.
That's why they drew that.
That's what that meant.
Mm-hmm. In 1820, Paul wrote the first in a long and successful series of novels dealing with Parisian life, entitled... Oh, God.
Georgette. Ou la Nice du Tabillon.
Translation, Georgette, or the niece of the notary public.
Oh, boring. That got way boring.
God, so boring.
Notary
way more
public.
Interesting in French.
That title is like the gibberish that someone would say to make fun of a French person.
Yes.
What's up, you frog? Oula, fresh star, bonchance day. Fucking baguette eating piece of shit.
Whoa, Nick.
I'm just there. I fucking hate the frogs.
Whoa.
God.
That is... Wow. You gotta leave, dude.
Sorry. Wow. I apologize.
Okay, other works by him. Thank you so much, Brett, for including so much fucking French. Gustave Le Bon Sujet. Translation, Gustave, the wrong subject. Oh, this is easy. Say that one. That one's easy.
Frère Jacques.
Translation, Brother John.
Brother John. Don't name my...
Ding, dang, dong.
Ding, dang, dong.
Ding, dang, dong. Yeah. That's right.
Le Barbier de Paris.
Oh,
the Barber of Paris, y'all.
Again, got more boring.
Yeah.
Le Latier de Montfilet. Maybe. Oh, the Dairy of Montfermeil.
He's so boring.
He's just writing about different jobs.
Right.
These are
the jobs that I want. La femme, la Marie et le mort. The woman, the husband, and the lover. Oh, this is the sequel to
The Child of the Wife.
My wife.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Who would cheat on this guy? Who would stray from this crime?
Oh, man.
You know what? Some women don't know what they got till it's gone.
Read this one.
Why?
Because.
Coco. Translation, the deceived husband. Nailed it.
Oh, nailed boy. It. Wow. Airing his dirty laundry.
Poor Paul.
Oh.
It's not
sweetheart.
His fault he looks like a character from Kevin James's SNL audition.
Paul's novels were much more popular abroad than at home. He was popular in England and Russia, where his novels were considered accurate portraits of Parisian life. He was even alluded to in Dostoevsky's novel, Poor Folk.
Let me help.
Where it is said that reading... Help. Which one are you holding?
I'm going to throw that one down.
There we go. Where it is said that reading a novel by de Kock was not becoming for ladies.
What about the notary public one? Was that not okay? Because it talked about work, men...
And in Thackeray's novel, Pendennis, in which the main character, Major Pendennis, remarks that he had read nothing interesting for 30 years except for the novels of Paul de Kock, who certainly made him laugh.
Oh, God. What a life.
That was it?
That was it?
Dear Diary,
what a week. I just read some Paul de Kock. Certainly broke up the monotony.
The 1920 Encyclopedia Americana attributes Paul's popularity abroad to his style, which describes as his which it describes as his worst feature, barely presentable, a fault evidently due to deficiency of education, but the defects of which largely disappear in translation. After his death in Paris on April 27, 1871, of unknown causes, Paul de Kock's popularity diminished rapidly until at last his once celebrated novels fell out of print and his once beloved name slipped into complete obscurity.
Oh, that's true, though.
That's true, because that's when sad. We said Paul de Kock, everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know what this cat writing guy is.
And when they saw that picture, they're like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Paul de Kock.
That cat
guy. He wrote that notary public story.
My favorite one.
Do you guys ever have that fear that your name will immediately, like, slip into obscurity after your death? Like, that'll just, like, be
I have that fear that will happen, like, 10 minutes today. After this
right,
show.
Right, no, now. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
I'm almost positive it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'd say for me, I mean, like, that's easy money to bet on that. But it is kind of like, it does kind of, like, be like, okay, so how long, and how many years pass after my death, at which point it's, like, as if I never existed?
8 months.
So you think a baby conceived the day you die is not born before the time?
It won't know your name at all.
No. Yeah.
Like the mom will say your name and then it'll be like, fucking who?
Fucking who?
Yeah.
It's like, who taught that baby that?
Word. It's like the saddest version of the movie Coco.
Oh, haven't seen it.
Seen it? Anyone? No. Okay. Yeah.
I've heard it's very good. I do want to see
very
it.
Good.
But first, I want to read The Guilty Secret by Paul de Kock.
I don't know if these pages all right. are going to
see Ready? Oh, nice. Already starting with a pretty good name.
Okay.
Natalie de Hauteville was 22 years old and had been a widow for 3 years.
She was one of the prettiest women in Paris. Her large dark eyes shone with remarkable brilliancy, and she united the sparkling vivacity of an Italian and the depth of feeling.
Mamma mia. Excuse me. Are you Italian? Because you have a sparkling whatever that was said.
And the depth of feeling of a Spaniard.
Okay. Oh, hold on.
I'm really hoping these ethnic comparisons don't stray out of Europe.
Yeah, I agree.
This is going to get real problematic.
Hard agree.
And don't stray out of being complimentary because, ooh. I bet that they will, though. I bet they're going to stray.
To the grace which always distinguishes a Parisian born and bred. Considering herself too young to be entirely alone, she had long ago invited Monsieur de Albancourt.
Hold on.
An old uncle of hers to come and live with her.
Yikes.
Nice.
Wait, how old is she?
Fucking nice, dude. She's 22. She got her fucking old uncle living her. Nice.
Hell
tight,
yeah.
Tight. She's got the charm of three nations.
Yeah. What does he have?
Spanish.
Holy shit. Is he Mary suing himself into the story?
French.
He is. He's going to be like, and he had a push broom mustache and his wife cuckolded him all the time.
I mean, I hope he had so little.
His name was Saul de Dick.
Monsieur de Albancourt.
God damn it, Brett.
You're going to love this,
you
Lindsay.
You piece of shit.
His name starts every paragraph. Was an old bachelor. He never loved anything in this world but himself. He was an egotist, too lazy to do anyone any ill turn.
But at the same time, he put himself in this story.
He did.
Scrooge.
The same time, too selfish to do anyone a kindness, unless it would tend directly to his own advantage. And yet.
Oh, Slytherin.
Nice, represent. I'm so happy that this old ass uncle is in my house. And yet, with an air of complacency, as if he desired nothing so much as the comfort of those around him, he consented to his niece's proposal?
Ew.
Wait, to live or to marry?
Live, I'm sure it's to live. To marry, because you should move in with someone first so that you can get used to their habits.
And the woman shouldn't ask the guy.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Anyway, keep going.
He consented. He consented to his niece's proposal in the hope that she would do many little kind offices for him, which would add materially to his comfort.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Monsieur de Albancourt accompanied his niece when she resumed her place in society, but sometimes when he felt inclined to stay at home, he would say to her, "My dear Natalie, I'm afraid you will not be much amused this evening. They'll only play cards. Besides, I don't think any of your friends will be there. Of course, I'm ready to take you if you wish to go." And Natalie, who had great confidence in her uncle, said she'd stay at home. In the same manner, Monsieur de Albancourt, who was a great gourmand, said to his niece, "My dear, you know that I am not at all fond of eating, and I'm satisfied with the simplest fare, but I must tell you that your cook puts too much salt in everything. It is unwholesome."
She has a cook?
Also, like, can you put too much salt in something to where you're like, that needs an R rating? it's unwholesome.
Obscene.
I am shocked. I'm clutching my pearls. So much salt.
So they changed the cook.
Oh, good.
And so this niece is rich, right?
Yeah, she's rich.
They're all rich.
She's loaded. Okay.
Everyone in these stories.
Yeah, she's
rich,
but she's single, which,
And at 22, right. Yikes.
And of course.
Anyway, that's what I think.
Finding out a lot about Mary tonight.
Whatever.
The trees before the old gentleman's window had to be cut down because their shade would doubtless cause a dampness in the house prejudicial to Natalie's health. And the Surrey, it had to be changed for a landau.
It had to get French on top. Musical theater.
That's Oklahoma. A fun That's song. Really,
anybody
that's really
seen
good.
Oklahoma?
That's
no?
Really
okay.
Good.
Natalie was a coquette. Accustomed to charm, she listened with smiles to the numerous protestations of admiration which she received.
Oh, Mary is not going to approve of this, girl.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Girl, get it.
She sent all who aspired to her hand to her uncle,
what?
Saying,
why?
Before I give you any hope, I must know my uncle's opinion. It is likely that Natalie would have answered differently if she'd ever felt a real preference for anyone, but heretofore, she seemed to have preferred her liberty.
Oh.
The old uncle, for his part, being now master in his niece's house, was very anxious for her to remain as she was. Well, duh, he likes her, right?
Quick question.
Yeah?
Is there a story yet? Has anything happened?
No. Well, no, Lindsay. They cut down the trees and they changed the cook.
And she's single and he's old. And there's food.
And they're together.
Okay.
And I'm wondering the guilty secret is.
Oh, my God. It's going to be so dirty. Oh.
You sound guilty.
Ooh.
Okay. I'm going to feel real bad about it after.
Mm-hmm.
Paid Kelly, it was your place.
The old uncle, for his part, being now master in his niece's house, was very anxious for her to remain as she was. A nephew might be somewhat less submissive than Natalie.
Ew, fuck you.
But true.
I think it's great.
Therefore, he never failed to discover some great fault in each of those who sought an alliance with the pretty widow. Oh, I
she's
forgot
a
she's
widow?
A widow. Do we know
totally
that?
Oh, forgot that.
Oh, we
totally
all forgot that.
At 22?
Ooh.
Sad.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Or
used goods.
Awesome. Or awesome. Or fucking awesome.
You get it, girl.
Get
you
it.
Be a widow.
Have two marriages. It's okay. France.
Besides his egotism and his epicureanism, the dear uncle had another passion: to play backgammon.
Oh my God, that's so boring. He was a notary public who loved playing backgammon.
It's actually a game of strategy and skill.
If I may. Just to interject for a moment.
I'm just feeling a little attacked and fresh right now. The game amused him very much, but the difficulty was to find anyone to play with. If only he knew you.
Right.
You'd be like, knock, 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 here I am again.
We'd be fast friends.
Uh-huh. Kick out that widow. If by accident any of Natalie's visitors understood it, there was no escape from the long siege with the old gentleman. But most people preferred cards. In order to please her uncle, Natalie tried to learn this game, but it was almost impossible because she's so fucking stupid.
Oh, no.
So here's what's going on. Paul de Kock clearly loves backgammon in real life, but he's one of those guys, like, you ever go play, like, Settlers of Catan with your friend, but then he wants to spend, like, 40 minutes just explaining the rules. I'm just like, can we just play? Like, do you have
No. I know exactly that type of person.
He's that type of guy. Like,
no,
he just wants
so
to
annoying.
Say everything about backgammon. He wants to talk about all the different moves you can make. He wants to tell you what's right and wrong strategically.
Yes.
And
also,
then he gets mad when people, like, don't want to play with him after one instance of that.
He's also, like, a nerd gatekeeper, I feel like. I feel like someone's like, I like backgammon. He's like, oh, really? So, like, what is a third tier jumpy black card? And then they're like, I don't know, dude. I'm not really. He's like, oh, I didn't think so. And he starts, like, angrily packing up his little briefcase of little, what are they, tokens?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
They're checkers pieces.
He's also the type of guy where instead of, like, when, like, his daughter brings a girl home, he's like, I have a shotgun and I can dig a deep hole. He comes and he's like, yeah, I have a board of backgammon and a long constitution. We will play for hours if you so much as hurt her.
I got a big ass that can sit on a cat. We're going to play some fucking backgammon.
You got a bonnet? Because I got the rhythm.
And they're like, I'm losing the thread.
I don't
and
know.
He's like, oh, yeah, oh. I'm a tiny baby boy. I sit on a cat. Okay.
They're like, I'm good. I don't need to see your niece.
Natalie could not give her attention to one thing for so long a time.
It's really hard.
Luckily, her uncle scolded. Natalie gave up in despair. It was only for your own amusement that I wished to teach it to you, said the good Monsieur Abdablincourt. Things were at this crisis when, at a ball one evening, Natalie was introduced to a Monsieur d'Apremont, a captain in the Navy.
Oh, is this where the story starts?
They become a throuple.
Love a man in uniform.
Natalie raised her eyes expecting to see a great sailor with a wooden leg and a bandage over one eye.
When that's a pirate.
She, you know what?
That's not a sailor. That's a pirate.
It's not a wonder this bitch could not figure out how to play backgammon.
She's like, what? Sailors like have like parrots and like bottles of rum and their names are Johnny Depp.
He's like, I'm in the Navy. I fought for our country.
I get it. I had a husband before.
Ew, bye. When to her great surprise, she beheld a man of about 30, tall.
I thought you were going to say 13.
A young man of 13.
Oh, yeah.
Also a widower.
Tall, finely formed, with two sound legs and two.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. We're gonna have to mop these floors right here. And
oh my God.
Good eyes.
What? Ooh. Both of them?
Oh my God, stop. This is pornographic. How dare.
Oh my God.
To think of like dating in like the 18th century when your standards were. They are physically intact.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Four limbs, two eyes. G-g-g-g. Whoa.
There's only one piece of you.
Right. Armand Promont had entered the Navy at a very early age,
nice.
13, and had arrived, although very young, to the dignity of a captain. He had amassed a large fortune in addition to his patrimonial estates, and he had now come home to rest after his labors. As yet, however, he was a single man, and moreover, had always laughed at love. But when he saw...
I'm sorry, you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank good you. Work.
Thank you, Mr. Badgammon. Yeah. But when he saw how are you saying this? Natalie?
Natalie.
Natalie.
It's got an H in it.
There's an H.
That is a thing.
Natalie.
But if you can just, you know,
no.
That's your actor secret.
I feel the H should be pronounced. Yeah.
His opinions underwent a change. Nice. For the first time in his life, he regretted that he had he had never learned to dance, and he kept his eyes fixed on her constantly.
Learn to dance. Let that be a lesson to you. Yeah. Learn to dance early and often.
We're going to be hosting a little like dance lesson after this if anyone wants to join us.
This is so weird because like I was like, the name looked familiar. I was like, where do I know that from? If you look at the credits for Step Up, it says, based on The Guilty Secret, written by Paul DeCock. Like, okay.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But now I can't not see it.
Right.
Now it's like everything that was said before, I feel like an idiot.
It's
100% the same exposition.
Mm-hmm.
His attentions to the young widow soon became a subject of general conversation. Jesus Christ, Weiger, what are you doing?
At he wants to talk about backgammon again.
Yeah.
The report reached the ears of Monsieur de Blincourt when Natalie mentioned one evening that she expected the captain to spend the evening with her. The old man grew almost angry.
Almost.
Oh, dang. I hope they fight.
Annoyed.
Yeah. He was just like, wow, that's kind of like
That's like frustration. That falls in frustration.
Mild frustration.
The old man grew mildly frustrated. "Nat Holly," said he, "you act entirely without consulting me. I have heard that the captain is very rude and unpolished in his manners. To be sure, I have only seen him standing behind your chair, but he has never even asked after my health.
And I look sick. I look disgusting.
I look like I'm about to fucking die.
I look like a walking corpse, and this guy can't even fucking look at me. I know I'm hard to look at.
Ask after my health. I only speak for your interest, as you are so giddy. Natalie begged her uncle's pardon and even offered not to receive the captain's visit.
Why the fuck is she doing this? Just date who you want.
It's so interesting that he wants people to come up to him and be like, so are you sick? Or, like, what? Why do you want that?
You look like it.
I think, wait. Oh, there it goes. I can't tell if my mic died or it's just.
No, you sound okay, you're coming in all right. So you're good. Strong.
All right.
Yeah, I see a green light.
But I did understand the concern.
It turned off for a second.
Yeah. It was weird. Brett.
Something he has no control over.
God, Brett.
This is all we do. We yell at Brett for things he doesn't have control over.
But this he forbore to require, secretly resolving not to allow these visits to become too frequent. But how frail are all human resolutions, overturned by the merest trifle. In this case, the game of backgammon was
what?
The unconscious cause. In this case, the game of backgammon was the unconscious cause of Natalie's becoming Mademoiselle de Apremont.
This is the fucking Chekhov's gun of this book?
I don't
of
know.
Of this story?
Apparently. Like, and then he took backgammon? It out and he's like, I told you I'd use it in the first act. The captain was an excellent hand at backgammon. Uh-oh. I'll hand my mic to you when I'm ready.
I think I got low bat sitch.
Low bat. Can Brett? We fly in low bat?
Brett? That's a blank wall. Brett, are you up in the tech booth? Okay.
Lindsay, I hate
I'll give you mine. Whenever you have something to say, just yank
Yeah, we'll off. Just...
This is a lot of pressure because now if I have something to say, it like has to be worth it.
Yeah, and like if you
whereas
say
previously
she
I could
can't.
Just chime in with some bullshit.
Great.
I picture him grabbing from you and being like, huh, yeah.
This is as it should be. We planned it.
Oh, great. Perfect.
Oh. Batteries are flying in. Batteries are flying in. That is a film
so
turn.
So we're going to take a quick break to bring a word from our sponsor, CVS. We used their bag earlier.
Oh, yeah. We have a bag.
And it was from CVS.
Faster.
So, oh, that's faster. Where we got the magnets. And we thought they'd be better, but they weren't.
Yeah, so sorry.
CVS. Proud CBS. Sponsor of Public Domain Theater.
Am I back? I think I'm back.
Oh, he's yeah. back, baby. Oh.
Isaac with the bat assist, yeah. everyone. Big hand for Isaac.
Woo. Big hand for Isaac. I also big hand for Weiger for staying so strong.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
That's so minor hand, sorry.
Literally the most I've struggled in my entire life. It's been a cakewalk.
Wait till you try to play backgammon with this guy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
When the uncle heard this, he proposed a game, and the captain, who understood that it was important to gain the uncle's favor, acceded. I thought it said accepted.
I thought that it said that too.
This did not please Natalie. She preferred that he should be occupied with herself. When all the company were gone, she turned to her uncle, saying, "You were right, uncle, after all. I do not admire the captain's manners. I see now that I should have not invited him." On the contrary, niece, he is a well-behaved man. I have invited him to come here very often and play backgammon with me. This is featured.
Jeez, he turned
Hold
so
on.
Fast.
I'm sorry. Also,
the guilty secret, backgammon. On the contrary, niece, and play backgammon with me. I mean, that is to pay his addresses to you.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, I saved it.
Very, 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 he's slick.
You don't usually see like an I Love Lucy like sitcom stumble in like a piece of prose from the 18th century.
Nevertheless,
that was not me. It
a
says,
translated piece of prose.
It literally comma, says, I mean, in it. And play backgammon with me. I mean, that is to pay his addresses to you. That's just like, that's such like a line that like, that's, yeah, that's something that like Dick Van Dyke would say.
Yeah.
Some broad show from the 60s. So this guy's priorities are he wants people to play backgammon with him,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and he wants them to ask if he's sick as shit.
Yeah.
he just wants questions Those about his health.
Two things.
And backgammon opponents.
Mm-hmm. And a beautiful widow niece.
Yes.
Natalie saw that the captain had gained her uncle's heart, and she forgave him for having been less attentive to her. He soon came again, and thanks to backgammon, because it makes him come. Increased in
nice,
favor.
Nice,
whoa.
Nice,
wait a minute.
Nice, nice,
sorry,
nice.
He no, that was in here.
Yeah, it's in there.
17.
Right?
Made him nice, come.
Nice, 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 nice.
How? Whatever. I mean, I know. Go ahead.
He soon captivated the heart of the pretty widow also. One morning, Natalie came blushing to her uncle. You.
Uh-oh.
The captain has asked me to marry him. What do you advise me to do?
Madame,
I've played backgammon with your sick uncle 3 times. And now I must have your hand in marriage. Like, what?
I gotta get into this family.
Yeah.
That's in The Pickup Artist. You just have to play backgammon with someone's sick fucking uncle.
Classic PUA.
While insulting his looks. Man, right. you look fucking sick.
Oh, that's what you, that's negging.
That's the negging.
Right.
That's where negging comes from.
Well, thank you, DeCock.
Right, it's a more patriarchal society back then, so you'd actually nag like the male who was like an authority figure. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He was the power you had to cut down.
I think we should go back to that. That's what I think.
He reflected for a few moments. If she refuses him,
oh my god!
Keep going! Oh, I'm so excited! What?
You shouldn't be. He reflected for a few moments. If she refuses him, the Apremont will come here no longer, and then no more play backgammon.
Well, that's how he comes.
Yeah, that's the only way he can have his moment.
But if she marries him, he will be here always, and I shall have my games. And the answer was, you had better marry him.
Nice. Mm.
I have to play backgammon.
This guy's got an unhealthy obsession with backgammon.
Yeah.
This is like one of those guys you see like who has a freak out on World of Warcraft because their account got deleted by their mom.
Yeah.
Except it for it's like a shitty board game on the other side of checkers. So you know checkers, but less fun? That's my obsession. I'm going to marry my niece to a stranger so I can have more backgammon games.
What's that game that you would play where you had to like click on
Minecraft?
Minecraft.
Right.
Oh, it's called Minecraft.
Wait, what? I thought that was Minesweeper.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. That was
sorry.
Close.
I died.
And oh then I God. Came back.
Yeah.
And Minesweeper.
Minesweeper.
If this guy saw Minesweeper, like his head would explode. It's just like this is.
He wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah,
he's
this
like,
is
holy
so much
fucking
better.
Shit! I can't stop or, coming. Oh my god.
Natalie loved Armand, but she would not yield too easily.
Nice.
She sent for the captain. If you really love me, can you doubt it?
Ew, rude.
Hush.
Nice.
Do not interrupt me. If you really love me, you will give me one proof of it. Anything you ask, I swear. No, you must never swear anymore. And one thing more, you must never smoke.
Oh, okay.
Just side note. I detest the smell of tobacco, and I will not have a husband who smokes.
Oh, I love that.
Mm.
Armand sighed and promised.
Wait, that was the thing she made
him
promise?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was
she's like,
back
also, in. You have to play backgammon like once an hour.
Wait, she likes that he does it?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Hmm.
The first months of their marriage passed smoothly, but sometimes Armand became thoughtful, restless, and grave. Mm-hmm. After some time, these fits of sadness became more frequent. What is the matter? Asked Natalie one day on seeing him with impatience. Why are you so irritable? Nothing at all, replied the captain, as if ashamed of his ill humor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your feelings are okay.
Yeah.
You know what? Toxic masculinity was a thing.
Right.
Address it, you know? Mm.
Tell me.
Or don't.
That's just what I
think. That's what I think.
Tell me, Natalie insisted. Have I displeased you in anything?
Ooh, it's on to me. Okay.
Oh, it picks up.
Nice, oh, boy. Nice. All right, here we go.
Sweet.
All right, so nervous. The captain assured her that he had no reason to be anything but delighted with her conduct on all occasions. And for a time, he was all right. Then soon he was worse than before. Natalie was distressed beyond measure. She imparted her anxiety to her uncle, who replied, "Yes, my dear, I know what you mean. I have often remarked it myself at backgammon."
Oh God! Here's the thing: like, she needs to get
your
other
uncle.
Over
it. It started with backgammon, but then he brought out Chinese checkers and parcheesi, and suddenly we're playing the game of life, and I felt gross and dirty and used.
Why doesn't she? She needs other friends other than uncle. Why is the only person she's talking to about this is uncle?
Because they're literally the only three people in the world.
He has a vested interest in their marriage. She needs to seek outside. Just like join a book club or something. Start a podcast. I don't know.
Start a podcast.
Have any of you guys played the game of life like within the past 5 years?
Nope.
Because it is really depressing because it's like the salaries are out of whack with what the economy is. And then it'll be like, oh, what's my job? Like, I'm going to work at a, I'm going to be a shopkeeper. Okay.
Notary public.
Yeah, exactly. You may, yeah. Yeah, and then you like you make 70 grand and you can afford a house and like a car. Like it's like everything that's achievable hilarious. Within the game has become more and more of like a just so removed from what life is actually like.
I remember the like super nice house was like $300,000.
Right, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
That was
isn't that fun that we can think about that right, right. now?
Let's yeah, you all can get jump that. On Zillow and die.
Where was I? Oh, backgammon. I've often remarked it myself. At backgammon, he is very inattentive and often passes his hand over his forehead and starts up as if something has agitated him.
Well, ask
maybe
after
a guilty
his home.
Secret.
Girl,
you're I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I don't actually have two legs.
Oh no.
Oh, ableist.
Yeah.
Ableist.
And one day, when his old habits of impatience and irritability reappeared, more marked than ever, the captain said to his wife, "My dear, an evening walk will do me a world of good. An old sailor like myself, an old 30-year-old sailor like myself, cannot bear to sit around the house after dinner. Nevertheless, if you have any objection..." "Oh no, what objection can I have?" He went out and continued to do so day after day at the same hour. Invariably, he returned in the best of good humor.
Oh my God.
What the fuck is he doing?
He is playing backgammon with another older gentleman.
Oh, that's what this is. That's
guilty secret.
Oh.
Natalie was now unhappy indeed. He loves some other woman, perhaps.
No,
she thought.
It's backgammon.
This
no,
is the fucking backgammon thing.
It's another guy.
He's
got a second
backgammon thing. He's
fucking money, Brett, on backgammon.
He's playing backgammon with Raoul de Posay.
I was like, Raoul Julia.
Ooh, I'd like to meet him.
He's not.
He loves some other woman, perhaps, she thought, and he must see her every day. "Oh, how wretched I am! But I must let him know that his perfidy is discovered." No.
Good word.
I will. Yeah, it is a good word.
Perfidy?
Perfidy.
Perfidy?
Perfidy. Perfidy. P-R-F-I-D-Y.
Don't see it very often.
Oh, perfidy.
Look it up.
I thought that was a T. Someone look it up, please. Just kidding. Don't
now.
Look it up and then just shout out the answer randomly when you discover the definition.
Get a magnet.
"No, I will wait until I shall have some certain proof wherewith to confront him."
Cheaters.
She's getting Joey Greco.
Yeah.
I'm going to nail this creep. And she went to, did you see the one where he got stabbed? Oh my God.
No.
You didn't see the cheaters where Greco gets
legend.
Stabbed?
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's upsetting.
My sensibilities were too good for this show and I only played backgammon.
let's see. And she went to seek her uncle. "Ah, I am the most unhappy creature in the world," she sobbed.
You're right.
I bet not.
To a turtle.
I bet not.
Yeah.
Girl, you got a chef. Champagne problems. "What is the matter?" cried the old man, leaning back in his armchair. "Armand leaves the house for 2 hours every evening after dinner and comes back in high spirits and is anxious to please me as on the day of our marriage."
Why are we hearing this again?
He has a word count.
I don't know.
There's always a word count to hit.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
"Oh, uncle, I cannot bear it any longer. If you do not assist me to discover where he goes, I will seek a separation."
From who, uncle?
No, the...
Oh.
I think she's talking about divorce.
Oh, shit, girl.
You can't be both widowed and divorced. Mm. This is like the... whenever it was.
She's already gone through God's divorce. Now it's time for to make it her own.
Yeah. God's divorce? I need you to go to some poor person's funeral and tell... tell the poor survivor that it is God's divorce.
Look, I apologize if that was too
You're
going
to get stabbed like that guy in Cheaters.
I'm going to get cracked. Justifiably. "But my dear niece, my dear uncle, you who are so good and obliging, grant me this one favor. I'm sure there is some woman in the secret."
Backgammon.
How are we saying that? Ablancor? How are we saying this?
Just do what your heart feels.
Albacore.
Albacore.
Monsieur de Albacore wished to prevent a rupture between his niece and nephew, which would interfere very much with the quiet, peaceable life which he led at their house.
Stop. Not you, him.
Not backgammon.
Got it.
You can keep going.
He pretended to follow Armand, but came back very soon, saying he had lost sight of him.
But in what direction?
He couldn't keep up.
Look.
Yeah. He's riding a dang cat.
He's riding a cat.
Cats don't go that fast.
Yeah. Good luck. Plus, like, at one point he dropped his bonnet, had to go around back. And pick it up.
You'd look like an idiot if that bonnet weren't on. Oh,
can you imagine?
Ew.
I'm now, because so the cartoon, I think we've described it previously, but to be very specific, riding a cat, but also wearing a baby bonnet, holding like, is that a, what is he holding, a crazy straw?
It does.
I think it's one of those like Happy New Year things.
Oh, it's like a Happy New Year thing.
No, it's like a pixie stick.
Oh, yummy.
Okay, and then he's got a picnic basket with a wine bottle and a baguette in it. And this is clearly very insulting to this guy.
He looks like Little Miss Muffet.
Yeah. Right.
But on a cat instead of a tuffet.
But we're like, you know, 2/3 through this story, and I'm now on the side of the cartoonist. Like, this is like, this is a guy who deserves to be taken down a peg.
I don't know what's happening, but it feels right.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. My dear uncle. But my dear niece, my dear uncle, you are so good and obliging. Grant me this one favor. Oh, fuck, I read all this.
They don't have to call each other that so much either. Like,
my dear Kelly.
My dear Lindsay. Oh.
Monsieur d'Albacore wished to prevent a rupture between his niece and nephew, which would interfere very much with the quiet, peaceable life which he led at their house. He pretended to follow Armand, but came back very soon, saying he had lost sight of him. But in what direction does he go? Sometimes one way and sometimes another, but always alone, so your suspicions are unfounded. Be assured, he only walks for exercise.
That sounds fake, but okay.
Sounds like someone got tired of following him.
Yeah, he's like, he's just walking for exercise.
Like walking,
But Natalie was not to be duped in this way. She sent for a little errand boy of whose intelligence.
And all she has to do is just open the window and scream, errand boy.
Yeah.
And one will come running.
Right.
Oh, errand boy, what day is this?
It's a different time. You yelled for errand boys, a town crier delivered the news, and you went to the bathroom in a bucket under your bed.
And you lived with your dang uncle.
Exactly.
And God presided over all divorces.
She sent for a little errand boy of whose intelligence she had heard a great deal.
Nice.
Oof. Monsieur de Apremont goes out every evening. Page turn.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Oh, God.
Oh
my God.
I got it.
I dropped the next
podcast.
Page.
This is on
Thank you.
Oh my
you
God.
You
can all say we're
this
all
was
right.
a near God. Disaster.
Oh my
Good.
God.
Disaster.
Wow.
Disaster.
Oh. Okay.
Big hand for Lindsay Kaytai, everyone.
Yes, Lindsay Kaytai.
That's professional.
I just sat here and screamed, "Oh my God."
I just panicked.
I had to move a foot.
I wet my pants. Yes, madam.
Oh, do not do that again. What is wrong
no.
with you?
It's hard.
Hubris.
First the mic, now the page.
The page is kind of curled because of the way it printed, so it'll just slide right off this music stand.
When you booked us, you did, or when we booked you, you did send an email that said, just so you know, I'm going to make the show all about me.
Yes, madam. Tomorrow you will follow him, observe where he goes, and come and tell me privately. Do you understand? Yes,
no.
madam.
No, not really.
I don't get it.
Well, he gets it, I guess. Natalie, this little errand boy of whose intelligence she's
bragging
about.
She hired an 8-year-old PI.
You're 8. Go out into the workforce. Just wander around town and wait
He's
for
like,
somebody
I'm
to yell
old.
At you out a window.
I don't feel like it.
Natalie waited impatiently for the next day and for the hour of her husband's departure. At last the time came, and as the pursuit commenced, Natalie counted the moments. After 3/4 of an hour, the messenger arrived, covered with dust.
What is he doing?
My God.
Oh, wow. This shit is blown wide open.
Look what the cat dragged in. Kill me.
Well, exclaimed Natalie, speak. Tell me everything that you have seen.
Madame, I followed Monsieur d'Apremont at a distance as far as the Rue Vieille des Temples, where he entered a small house in an alley. There was no servant to let him in.
Oh, bummer. Fuck. He's in a backgammon den.
He had to fucking move a knob himself.
Oh, shit. Does he have a family that he plays backgammon with?
Could
Secret
be.
Game family.
An alley, no servant, dreadful.
Yes! They made the joke we just made, but better.
This is the character we're supposed to empathize with, right? This is like the protagonist of the story. I went in directly after him and heard him go upstairs and unlock a door. Open the door himself without knocking? Are you sure of that?
Oh my God.
Yes, madame. The wretch. So he has a
That's
key.
That's pathetic.
So he has a key, but go on.
Oh, I will. When the door shut after him,
I
just had a different interpretation. I just had a different interpretation of the character now.
Ladies
Thank
and gentlemen,
God, I know to follow
Oscar
that.
Winner Mary Holland.
Thank you so much. When the door shut after him, I stole softly upstairs and peeped through the keyhole.
You I'm shall so glad have... that you didn't set this standard before I had
to
read.
Lindsay hates when
I'm
I read first and do accents.
I'm very bad at accents.
I mean, I also am. Like,
no, you're amazing.
You guys
thank you
program
so
this
okay,
in the correct
I'm so
order.
Sorry. I'll let you read. Let the master work.
Peep through the keyhole. You shall have 20 francs more.
Oh, all right. I peeped through the keyhole and saw him drag a trunk along the floor. A trunk? Then he undressed himself and undressed himself. And then for a few seconds, I could not see him. And directly he appeared again in a sort of gray blouse and a cap on his head. A blouse? What in the world does he want with a blouse? What next?
Oh, my God. She's so fucking boring.
I mean, I get it. If someone said he wore, I'd be like, blouse? Who talks about blouses anymore? Okay.
Who taught you that word?
Who taught you that word? I came away then, madame, and made haste to tell you. But he is there still. Well, now run to the corner and get me a cab and direct the coachman to the house where you have been.
I hope this is where this ends. This guy just has a secret apartment where he goes and changes his clothes and just sort of dances around a little bit. I'm a cap-wearing blouse man. And then he changes back
Finally,
and goes home to his
time
wife.
Time for me.
This is self-care.
Blouse man.
Yeah.
I love it. While the messenger went for the cab, Natalie hurried on her hat and cloak and ran into her uncle's room.
I have found him out. He loves another. He's at her house now in a gray blouse. But I will go and confront him. And then you will see me no more.
Oh, how does she think an affair works? Like, you don't have to change your clothes to cheat on somebody.
You go in a room and you wear the clothes of another, and then all their skin cells are all over you.
And that's love.
Uh-huh.
The old
that's
man,
how babies are made.
That's how babies are made. The old man had no time to reply. She was gone with her messenger in the cab. They stopped at last. Here is the house. Natalie got out, pale and trembling. Shall I go upstairs with you, madame?
Oh, she
asked the boy.
Oh, hi.
I thought it was her for a second. I was like, oh, I like this change in accent.
she's like really, you know, she sort of adapts to whoever she's with. She, right. kind of, she takes right. on their yeah. accents.
It's like the runaway bride.
Yeah.
Classic.
No, I will go alone. The third story, isn't it? Yes, madame. The left-hand door at the head of the stairs.
I don't know. It seemed that now, indeed, the end of all things was at hand.
Oh,
dramatic,
my God.
Very dramatic.
Oh, wow. You don't Boy. Have to say that.
She's going
to
get it.
You know what I mean?
And he's things. Just dressed like a backgammon piece.
Oh, my God. And the uncle's, like, coming in the corner.
It's our little game.
Would you like to play a game?
Is this continuous action? So that he's just been there this whole time?
Yeah, this is real time.
This little shit was looking through a peephole, watching this guy change clothes. And then he's like, okay, I gotta go report back. They get a cab real fast and they go back and he's still at it.
Yeah.
This kid went back and forth across fucking town while yeah. this guy's just standing in a room wearing a gray blouse and a hat.
He is a little shit.
By the way, I'm gonna keep an eye out for like any 8-year-old boys that are following me back to my I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
If a small child I guess a small child just goes to your house sometimes and conducts an espionage yeah. mission.
I'm gonna have to burn that gray blouse.
Natalie mounted the dark, narrow stairs and arrived at the door and, almost fainting, she cried,
"Almost fainting?
Open the door, or I shall die!
She's gonna die!"
The door was opened and Natalie fell into her husband's arms. He was alone in the room, clad in a gray blouse, and smoking a Turkish pipe.
Oh my God!
Hell yeah!
Oh my my fucking God.
No.
She fucking said.
She fucking said.
Oh my God.
She fucking said.
God divorce him.
God murder.
That's that age's term for murder. God divorce him.
Maybe. My wife! Exclaimed Armand in surprise.
We know.
Your wife, who, suspecting your perfidy, has followed you to discover the cause of your mysterious conduct. How, Natalie, my mysterious conduct. Look, here it is. He showed her the pipe. Before our marriage, you forbade me to smoke. And I promise to obey.
How is this the last page of this story right now?
This cannot be.
Oh, okay. It's second to last. Jesus Christ, I'm going to have a heart attack.
Promise to obey you. For some months, I kept my promise. But you know what it cost me. You remember?
No, I don't.
He like looked like shit.
Yeah.
You know how much it pained me not to smoke.
Yeah, it was really hard. You remember how irritable and sad I became?
You remember that one line of dialogue I said on the second page?
It was my pipe, my beloved pipe, that I regretted. One day in the country, I discovered a little cottage where a peasant was smoking. I asked him if he could lend me a blouse and cap.
Uh-oh. What?
He's insane.
Brett, he's wearing...
What is this?
These are his
even?
Smoking clothes?
I don't... Guys, I don't know.
He borrowed a young man's clothes to smoke in so that she wouldn't smell it on him.
Yeah. And you know that dude was like, I feel weird. I'm just going to do whatever you say because you're kind of weirding me out. And he's like, I need the clothes off of your
body.
Just
give me
right
the clothes. I see that you're smoking. I like
your
pipe.
Blouse.
I think that's a great pipe.
I need it.
My wife told me.
I am fucking irritable right now and I can't. I have never thought I would say this, but I wish this was about backgammon.
It would be a lot more satisfying with all the backgammon.
It would be more satisfying. The backgammon was the red herring.
It really was.
Yeah.
This is a real Agatha Christie.
Oof. I asked him if he could lend me a blouse and cap, for I should like to smoke with him, but it was necessary to conceal it from you, as the smell of smoke remaining in my clothes would have betrayed me.
What the fuck is this story? It's almost over, Brett. What has this story been?
Brett, you're in trouble.
Brett, you're in so much trouble.
It was soon settled between us. I returned thither, oh God, every afternoon to indulge in my favorite occupation. And with the precaution of a cap to keep the smoke from remaining in my hair, I contrived to deceive you. This is all the mystery. Forgive me. Natalie kissed him, crying.
I might have known it could not be.
What?
I might have known it could not be. I am happy now, and you shall smoke as much as you please at home.
I am happy now.
Honestly, I'd just rather have that they do it at home.
Honestly, if you're going to do it in the house.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see you.
I am a cool wife.
Yeah. And Natalie returned to her uncle saying, Uncle, he loves me. He was only smoking. But hereafter, he is to smoke at home.
If he's going to smoke, he better bring some of that ish around here, my girl. My uncle's a stoner, man.
Oh, my God. He said, so he is to smoke at home, the uncle. Then replied, I can arrange it all, said D'Albacore.
Whoa, what?
He shall smoke while he plays.
No.
Backgammon.
Fuck you.
Oh, my God.
And in that way, thought the old man. Okay, so this is him thinking. In that way, thought the old man. I shall be sure of my game.
No! Brett!
Wow.
Oh, my God. Brett, how dare. How very dare,
Mary's
Brett.
Doing a celebratory dance.
Oh, my God.
It's quite elaborate.
A celebratory twerk.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow. What a satisfying ending.
What a waste of time.
Yeah.
That was like what entertainment was. You'd sit down and you'd read that story in your parlor.
Okay. I wish to fucking God we still had that bio up. Because remember that guy who was like, I've never
never read more entertaining stories than those by Paul de Kock about backgammon.
You know what? They had like story time where like people would come and like read the story out loud and all sit together in a theater like and listen to the story being read out loud. That's fucking stupid. I'm looking at all of
that
you.
Story.
What an archaic practice.
Was nothing. That there was wasn't a story.
Honestly, right. I think it was really cool because you hear the title and you hear like, oh my God, he's sneaking away. And you're like, oh, this is going to be like a sexy, sexy, sexy. And then it's so funny.
It is funny.
And then it's so funny at the end that it's just a smoking. It's like so funny.
Oh yeah, I guess tonally I thought this was like a serious thing, but maybe this is more of like an O. Henry sort of like, oh, it's
yeah,
a little,
yeah,
it's a
that's
fun
what I
little
think.
Story.
I
okay.
think it's a fun little story.
Right.
He was like, I'm gonna write a real O. Henry right now.
Right. Uh-huh.
Where they both think that they've helped, but then he's smoking, and then backgammon still is played.
I'm not familiar.
With O. Henry?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, Gifts of the Magi?
Oh, I know that.
There you go.
Here we are.
He's that guy.
Perfidy.
By the way, I don't know how it's a happy resolution that this sick uncle is now being clouded in tobacco smoke every night while he's playing his backgammon.
He's going to get sicker and more people are going to ask, yeah. Hey, you look really fucking bad. Are you okay? And he's going to be like, thank you.
Also, the last sentence about... Oh, this is gonna better my game. It's like, what?
What does he think smoking does?
It's getting high, man. Oh, can't focus on reds and the blacks.
Oh, I didn't know that was fucking weed. Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Do you think people like were like, the Guilty Secret came out and someone was like, oh, did you read the Guilty Secret? Oh, man, it's crazy. They're playing backgammon. And the guy's like, oh, don't do me. No spoilers. sorry.
Spoiler alert, smoking.
Wow.
Oh, you ruined it.
What a story.
Wow.
I feel the same as I did
Brett
before.
Really underdid himself.
Oh,
with
man.
That story.
Brett, how dare you with this story?
Brett,
we trusted you.
Now people have magnets of your face, and then when they see them, they'll be like, oh, I remember that story. Just kidding, I don't. It was too boring to remember.
I want to know what happened to that cook who got fired.
Oh my God.
Did he land on his feet?
It was too sad.
It was too sad.
Too sad.
I wonder what happens to that errand boy. Who does he grow up to be?
I don't.
Abraham Lincoln.
You guys, Abraham Lincoln.
I don't know.
Lincoln.
Jordan, these questions at me like I know. I don't know.
Mary, who do you grow up to be?
Who do you grow up to be, Mary?
My
Mary.
Dad.
Oh my Whoa. God.
I just wanted you to say it finally. It's a big breakthrough for Mary, everyone. Thank you so much for coming out to our
show. Seriously, guys, thank you so much for coming to our show.
Really appreciate it.
Huge thanks to Mary Holland and Nick Weiger for being fantastic guests.
Fantastic.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
And if you liked what you saw and you want to not see it but hear it, you can find us on whatever podcast app you prefer. Public Domain Theater, subscribe, rate, like, review, listen to it. That's all. That's all I have. Do you have things? We didn't practice the end of the show.
That's okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
What?
Keep it lit.
Don't fucking say that. I'm just kidding. Keep it fucking lit.
Keep it lit. Yay!
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.